Welcome to Breakthrough Business Strategies, and happy Monday to each and every one of you. This is your host, Michelle Price, and on Twitter, at Prosperity Gal, coming to you from the third coast of Houston, Texas today, where we're going to bring you information on business success mindset, your inner game, and Web 2.0 tools, techniques, and strategies, your outer game, so that you're equipped to create success in your business today. You know, our listeners have expressed that they're solopreneurs, service-based professionals, and I'm really excited that offline businesses learning to come online have been identifying themselves this year because we've been wanting you to join us. That's why we make sure that we're picking topics and guests each week that are going to support, grow, and sustain your business needs. Today, our tip is going to be offered by Don Cooper, the sales heretic, and he's going to be talking around fear and our call reluctance and the things that just start coming up for us around our sales call so that we can be better prepared to hit our end-of-year sales goals. Don, how are you today?
I am fantastic. Michelle, how are you?
I'm just glad that the weather has gotten cooler because, you know, I've always been so transparent in telling everybody a woman in menopause really should not have to live in the South.
Nice.
So don't you love how everything we're talking about, not just on Breakthrough Business Strategies, but even on Women in Business Radio, is all around fear and how it's played or how we've allowed it to play a role for ourselves in our business. So I want to hear it. What are your suggestions and the things that you're going to teach us around our fear of call reluctance, because we all want to make sure we're making those sales goals for the end of this year.
Absolutely. Fear really dominates our lives. Too many of us are controlled by fear. We make the majority of our decisions based on our fears. And the tragedy with that is that when we make fear-based decisions, they are very often bad decisions. So it's critical that we understand these fears, recognize these fears, recognize where they come from, and work to overcome them. Because if we live our life in fear, we can't live joyously in abundance. We're not going to get what we want. We're not going to enjoy ourselves. And we're not going to do the most good we can. So whether you are a salesperson or you're a manager or a business owner or a professional, whatever you are, whatever your role is, it is critical that we understand the fears that we're subjected to and understand how to overcome those. And one of the biggest ones in sales is the fear of rejection. And it's understandable because nobody likes being rejected. So a lot of us avoid doing things that will put us into a position where we might be rejected. Like call reluctance, as you said earlier, we often don't make prospecting phone calls or any other kind of cold call because we're afraid the person's going to say, no, I'm not interested, that we're going to be perceived as a bother to them. Same with closing. We don't ask people to actually buy. When I interview sales managers, the number one thing they always say that their salespeople have a problem with is asking for the order. And one of the big reasons for that is because they're afraid of hearing no. They hope that if they don't say anything, eventually the prospect will say, okay, I'll take it. But we have to actually ask for that order. Same goes for referrals. Now, referrals are one of the most powerful business-building tools we have, and yet too many of us don't ask for them because we're afraid the person will say no. We're afraid we'll come across as being obtrusive, as being pushy. So this fear of rejection really hampers us. It prevents us from making more sales. It prevents us from growing our businesses. It prevents us from being more successful. So I want to share with everybody 7 specific actions that you can do to overcome the fear of rejection. Number one is to first think about why you fear rejection. The problem for so many of us is that when we get a professional rejection, we take that personally. It's important to recognize that when someone says no to our offer to buy something or a referral or whatever, that doesn't mean they're discounting us. They're not rejecting us as a person. They're simply saying no to the specific question we asked them. So think about what rejection brings up in your mind. How do you feel when somebody says no? And what are the reasons that you feel that way? When you come to terms with your fears, that's the first step in overcoming them. Second, reevaluate what the word no means. Often we think the word no means absolutely not, go to hell, you're a bad person. The reality is, more often than not, no simply means not right now. For example, if you're asking somebody for a referral, do you know anybody who also needs my services? And the person says no, that person might just not know anybody right now. 6 months later, they may well meet somebody. If you don't ask again, you'll never know that. So 6 months later, you ask again, do you know anybody that needs me? They might very well say, oh, you know, hey, I just ran into somebody a couple of weeks ago, and they were mentioning that. Oh, boy, I am so glad you asked me that. Let me connect you with them. So very often, no simply means not yet. The timing isn't right. It's not that your idea is bad. It's not that your request is poor. It's not that you're a bad person. Just the timing isn't right. That's all. No may also mean that you have an opportunity to move on. Very often, we don't make requests because we don't want to hear the word no, because the word no scares us so badly. And that might mean we waste a lot of our time and energy pursuing prospects who are never going to buy from us. If we ask them to buy and they say no, and we determine they're not going to buy from us, well, that's great. That frees us up. We don't need to waste any more time with that prospect. We can move on to find somebody else. So no can be positive. No might mean not yet, but soon. Or it might be no, thank you, you can now move on.
All right, I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question because I think we need to address it before we get into the other. How can you determine, because you're good at teaching us to ask better questions, how can you determine which one of those it is so you know how to do proper follow-up?
Ask. When someone says no, ask the reasons. Is now not the right time? Tell me the reasons for that. If you don't mind my asking, could you explain a little more? Was the proposal not what you needed? Just probe. Be courteous, be kind, have a smile on your face. Just ask very politely for more information. People will give it to you. As long as you're not angry and throwing things around the room, people will be happy to tell you, you know, the reasons behind their decision.
Now, may I ask a follow-up question to that?
Yes, you may.
Sometimes. Thank you. Sometimes people give a non-answer, and it leaves you wondering, should I ask another follow-up question, or should I accept the fact that they gave me an answer that was not an answer?
People give that kind of an answer because they don't want to hurt our feelings. It's because they are afraid. They don't want to cause a scene. They don't want to hurt somebody. They would rather say maybe than say no. Well, press them. Say, it's okay. You can tell me no. I won't mind. I want to make this easy for you. Can you help me understand? So I would encourage you to probe. Don't let them get away with giving you a non-answer. Get an actual answer. Help them be comfortable giving you that answer. People often don't like delivering bad news. Let them know that's okay. You don't mind. You won't take it personally. And you won't hold them personally accountable for the information.
So sometimes just asking the question in a way of, it sounds like you might be trying to couch your answer because you think I'm going to be uncomfortable when you tell me no, when in fact I'd rather you tell me no and why it's not working for you right now so that I'll know how to better help you in the future. Would that
exactly
be a good response?
Yep. That's an ideal response.
Okay. Okay.
The third thing to do.
All right, number three.
Number three is some homework. List the reasons somebody would say yes to your request. Whether you're asking for an appointment, you're asking for an order, or you're asking for a referral, or asking for anything else, list the reasons somebody would say yes to that. For example, the reason someone might say yes to an appointment is they have a need for what you have. The reason they might say yes is because their boss has told them they need to get this now. What are the reasons somebody might give you a referral? Well, they like you. Another reason is they love your product or your service, and they want others to have it. Why would they say yes when you ask them to order? because they desperately need what you have, because they're sick and tired of their previous vendor, because they like you and your team so much. Fourth, practice. Sit down with a friend, a colleague, a family member, somebody you trust, and do some role-playing. Practice hearing no, or practice hearing those kinds of non-answers that you mentioned, and practice your follow-ups. Get used to the idea. Part of what scares us is the unknown. When you practice something, it becomes a skill. It becomes easier. So it's a lot more known. Fifth, make a bet with yourself. Bet yourself, your prospect or your customer or whoever it is going to say yes to you. If you win, you do something for yourself you really want to do. You get yourself an ice cream cone. You take off an hour early from work. You do whatever you want. If they say no, if you lose the bet, then you do something else you need to do but don't necessarily want to. So it might be an extra half an hour on the treadmill, or it might mean getting to those thank you notes you've been putting off for 2 weeks. Make yourself a bet that they're going to say yes. When you believe they're going to say yes, that belief very often manifests itself because the brain likes consistency. So the human brain will work to create the outcome we are expecting. Sixth, keep a log. We often magnify the negative experiences in our life, and we eliminate the positive experiences. We don't remember them as clearly. So every time you make a request of somebody, note that in a log. What was the result? Did they say yes? Did they say no? Did they say maybe? Did they say next week? Keep a physical record so you can see how often people actually do say yes to your request. Mm. That way you will have hard evidence on paper that people say yes a lot more than you expect them to. That's one of the ironies. People often will say yes. We simply don't ask. And then seventh, if you need to, if the above steps aren't enough, talk with a therapist. The fear of rejection can be crippling. It really can. And a lot of us have really traumatic experiences from our past that can cause that fear to be amplified. I had an abusive mother, and she told me constantly as I was growing up that I was stupid, ugly, and worthless. So as you might imagine, I grew up with a very, very strong fear of rejection, because every time I was rejected, it reinforced that belief that she had planted in my head. And it took years to overcome that. To this day, I still have a strong fear of rejection. I simply recognize it and actively work to overcome it. So if you need to, talk with a therapist. There's no shame in that. It's okay. And it can help you make some powerful breakthroughs that can help you dramatically with your sales and your business. So use these seven steps to understand and overcome the fear of objection, and you'll get a lot more of what you want. Because if you don't ask, you don't get. Yet it's amazing how often when we do ask, we do get.
Those are awesome, Don. Thank you so much. That was just a perfect dovetail into what we talked about today with Guy and what we're going to talk about in the next 30 minutes with Dr. Robin Silverman. So we appreciate you showing us how our fears can affect our sales and what we can do to transcend it and to get something positive out of it. I also want to invite you to join us in the next 30 minutes when we have Women in Business Radio. We're going to be talking to Dr. Robin Silverman, and we're going to be talking about another fear, and that is all of the negative messaging that we've grown up with around body image and how those fears and those negative messages play a role in what we do or don't do in our businesses. And so I want to invite you, if you haven't connected with us, you can go to www.womeninbusinessradio.com. There's a link there and a phone number if you choose to call and listen on the phone line instead, where you can join us for Women in Business Radio. And, of course, you can always tweet me, @ProsperityGal. I love to connect with everyone, and I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks again to Guy Finley, to Don Cooper, and we look forward to talking to you in the next few minutes on Women in Business Radio.